Good morning. Oh, man, it's so good to see you. I want to tell you a story this morning about when I was maybe some of your ages. I think this story took place when I was 11 years old. Is there anybody up here that's 11? Nice, we got one. That's perfect. I was 11 years old, and some of you might know I didn't grow up very close to here. I actually grew up in a crazy place called West Virginia, and I went to this very nice Adventist school called Rocky Knoll. I'll be honest, it was not as nice as Roseburg Junior Academy, that is true, but it was good. It was good, and I think I was 11 years old. I think I was in the fifth grade, and first through fourth grade, we had a little two-teacher school with just two classrooms and a detached gym, but for fifth grade year, they actually built new classrooms off of the gym. They built these nice big classrooms, and it was so fun. And just like at most school, my favorite subject was recess. It was awesome. It was awesome. And I love, and I still love playing basketball. Do any of you play basketball? Nice, nice. Yeah, basketball is super fun. And I remember that we had our school would start. We'd start with Bible. That was awesome. Then we'd have math, and then we would have recess. And we were cruising through math. And I remember our teacher saying, hey, if you're done, why don't you head to the gym? You can start playing, and I'll help up these last few kids, and then I'll be in there. And it was like, this is the miracle I live for as a child. This is beautiful. And so we went into the gym, and a bunch of us went to one side of the gym, and we were playing basketball. But then there were some other kids that were just sort of playing. I'm not entirely sure what they were doing. And I'll have to set this up for you, because the school, the gym, if this is the gym here, right, the basketball courts are about as far away as you can get, and then just sort of a play area where we played these old games that you're not allowed to play anymore, like dodgeball. And then you went through this little hallway where there was a kitchen and a drinking fountain. And then you get to the new part of the building. And you turn left and you go to the classroom I was in. And if you turn right, you actually go to another classroom, right? So that's what's happening. So we were playing basketball and there was this young man named Danny. And there was another young man named Chris. There were lots of them. I was playing basketball with Danny. There was like 3-on-3. And I remember sitting there guarding Danny, and he was a year older than I was, and he was better. He was more athletic, and so I was focused. In those days, there was this basketball player named Michael Jordan, and that's what I wanted. I was watching him, and I was playing some good defense, and I was staring right at him. And out of the corner of my eye, I could see something flying. And I kind of looked up, and there was a ball flying through the air. And Danny was dribbling the ball, and this ball flying through the air hit him right in the face. And I still remember kind of slow motion with his face kind of getting smeared over like that. And Danny was really fun, but he had this thing where sometimes he would lose his temper. He was kind of known for losing his temper. And at this time, he did exactly that. He just bounced the basketball hard, turned to look at the other side of the gym, and I remember I did the same thing, and almost every kid was pointing at one kid. It was crazy. It was Chris. It was Chris. And Chris, I think, was probably in my grade, and he had the tendency to do kind of weird things sometimes and kick balls all over the place. And this ball had hit Danny, and everybody pointed at Chris, and I remember Chris's eyes got really large because he knew he just hit probably the one person you don't want to hit. And it was like everything in the world froze for a little bit. And then we all recognized that Danny was now going to go try to get to Chris. And so Danny started running fast. Chris turned also. Danny was farther away in the back part of the gym with me playing basketball and some other people. Chris was in the front. And like all good people, they know, who are you going to protect? I got to find my teacher. Gotta find the teacher. And so Chris started running. He started running towards the teacher, and he gets through the gym. He gets to the hallway. But Danny is fast. He's athletic, and he's angry. and he is gaining on Chris. In fact, he's running so fast that the rest of us are kind of jogging along behind to see what happens, and maybe to break, probably just to see what happens. And so we're kind of coming along, and we see them go past the drinking fountains. Then there's a little doorway. Chris gets through the doorway. Danny is right on his heels. Chris turns left to go to the teacher. He has just one more doorway. Danny, as he's running, his head's getting farther and farther in front of his feet. And in fact, his head so far that I am not totally exaggerating, he flew for just a little bit. He flew through that doorway. Chris turned left. Danny did not turn left. And without turning left, there was a wall. The brand new, freshly painted, just like we got to do here a year ago or so, painted wall, brand new wall. And Danny's head was like this, flying through the air. His hands, and then his head hit the wall, but it didn't stop. His head went into the wall. Yeah, his head went into the wall. And I remember us all gathering around, and I remember our teacher running out right then, and I remember Danny's, with his head kind of white now, pushing his head out of the wall, made it through just the first layer, and this is what he said. I have chickens. I'll take care of everything. I remember all of us, like, what? What? Even our teacher, like, what? Like, what? And so our teacher quickly told all the rest of us to go to the gym and not be there anymore. And here's what I discovered. He did have chickens. I actually knew that. I've been to his house. He has chickens. And chickens do this thing. They lay eggs. And he actually sold those eggs. It was actually pretty lucrative for a 12-year-old. And so what he meant by that was, I made a mistake. I want to pay for this damage. I'm going to take care of this. I blew it, teacher. I'm sorry. I'm going to handle this. There's a couple things that stick out to my mind. Number one, if you heard the adult Sabbath school at all, it was about Nebuchadnezzar, and it was a lot of I. And I think in this case, Danny, when he got hit with the ball, he said, I am going to handle this. I'm going to handle this myself. And there was probably a better way for him to have handled that than to lose his temper and run. But when he made the big mistake, he didn't blame somebody else. He didn't even say, I got hit with the ball, it's not my fault. He said, this is 100% my fault. I'll do whatever it takes to make this up. I'll fix it. I'll do anything. We are all, at some point, going to make a mistake. Maybe even multiple times in one day. And what I think God wants us to do is stay connected to him and find ways that we can work with him to make it up to the people that we might have hurt. And that's what sticks out to me, because even when we don't lose our temper, even when we try our best, we still sometimes hurt people's feelings. But God has our back, and he always has love for us and wants us to help each other out. So I'd love to have a word of prayer with you, and then you can go back and grab the little plates and head back to your seats. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for always being a God of love, for always being a God of second and third and hundredth chances, and being a God who actually knows each one of these kids. And you have plans for their lives, Lord. They are amazing plans, ways that they will be blessed by you, but also ways that they can bless others. So, Lord, we ask for you to always be with them. Thank you for this church to support them. Be with us all this Sabbath day. Amen.